Blog Talk Radio.
Wonder who will change my love.
Yeah. change. You need to know there are. Praise you. Lord, we glorify your name. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. A mighty God who never gives us what we deserve, but always gives us what we need. Because he is precious. We thank God. We thank him this morning for waking us up and blessing us with the gift of life. Yeah. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing already. We are rejoicing in this hallelujah, glory to God. think about it, there's some people that were here on yesterday. Hallelujah. They were in the land of the living, but they're no longer here. They have crossed over into another dimension. Hallelujah. Whether they're heading to heaven or to hell, but they cross over to another dimension, but we are still in the land of the living. And that is enough to praise him. It is enough to praise him. Glory to God. We're talking this morning. We're going to be speaking this morning on ungodly living, meaningless worship. Ungodly living, meaningless worship. You know, some people, and not some, but a lot of people live a godly lifestyle and they still think that they can go into the house of the Lord and worship the Lord and get answers. God don't receive the worship. He told Jeremiah that. Jeremiah don't pray for the people. He told Isaiah the same thing. He told Ezekiel, listen, don't pray for those people. He says, I'm not going to listen. And I'm not going to watch. He said, I'm going to turn my face against the worship. I'm going to turn my face against their praise. And here in the book of Amos, we want to try to put this word on here. My glass is very dirty. I just got some new lens and they're out up very easy. Here in this book of Amos chapter 5, we want to pull out some stuff in here. Last time we did this some years ago, we coming at chapter 5. Well, let's go and start at verse 1 today and come up with the Amplified Bible and see what the Lord say to us today. Is that making some sense to you? Let's go into Amplified and then we'll go to the NLT. You know, I like the New Living Translation. He says, hear this word which I take up concerning you in lamentation, O Israel, O house of Israel. In other words, the prophet is mourning. He's in grief for the people because he sees the condition of the hearts of the people. And he is mourning for them. He said, the virgin of Israel has fallen. She shall no more rise. She lies cast down and forsaken on her land. There is no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went forth a thousand shall have 100 left. And that which went forth 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. Now, God is saying because of the people's rejection of him, because of the people hate correction, they're going to go into battle. And when they go into battle, they're going to lose many lives. Thousands and hundreds of people going to die. This is what God is saying. He said, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me, inquire for and of me. And require me as you require food, and you shall find me. You'll find that in 2 Chronicles 15 and 2, Jeremiah 29 and 13. Now, God has given us a very clear, clear notice here. He's saying to us, seek him. In other words, God is saying, look, the way you go after food, all this delicatessen that you go after, delicacies, you go after like, it's the last time you're going to see food. You ever seen people that go to all you can eat, and when they get to the booth where the food are, oh man, they like go crazy. They trying to pack their plate up, like the rest of food going to walk away. And they're excited when they see the food. God says, no, you need to go after me the same way. He said, but seek not the golden calf at Bethel, nor enter into idolatrous Gilgal, and pass not over to the idols of Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity and exile. And Bethel, house of God. And Bethel, house of God, shall become Bethaven, house of vanity, emptiness, falsity, tillity, and come to nothing. God said, if you go after these things of the world, you're going to become like nothing. You're going to become empty. And what you see today in the world that we have been living in, people are seeking vanity. They're going after the things. They're going after the things of the world, the things that look good, the things that seems good. This is what they're going after. They're not concerned with righteousness. Or majority of them, not all, they're not concerned with righteousness and holiness. What are you talking about? They said, you're talking about righteousness and holiness. So they said, what are you talking about? You know, they said, what are you talking about? They said, no, we are going after, we trying to get a big portfolio. We're trying to build up our bank accounts. We're trying to, we in real estate. We are buying homes. We are doing great. God said, don't seek those things. And this is what he says in Amos chapter 5, verse 6. He says, seek, inquire for and of him and require him, and you shall live, lest he rush down like fire upon the house of Joseph, representing the 10 tribes, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel, the center of the idols' hopes. God said, if you go down, go after these all these things that he told you not to go, he said, he'll come down like fire, and he will consume you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what I like about God, the God that we serve, the sovereign Lord that we serve, is that he never do anything to his people. He never does anything to his people without warning. God always warns us before he does anything to us. And listen and don't adhere to what God is saying. Oh, God said, you know, if you go down to the strip club and you get involved with a prostitute, you stand a chance of getting VD, some type of disease that is very hard to be cured. You might catch AIDS, and then you're fighting to live. And we said, no, I'm still going down there because them women down there, half naked, they look so good. You know, we said, well, we're not going out here to what God is saying. How do he know? And we question God. I said, no, if you go down to the strip club, man, this going to happen. If you go down to the skid row, they're going to rob you. They're going to take your jewelry. They're going to take your clothes. They're going to strip you naked. No, we still go anywhere. We still go anywhere because we said, well, God don't know. He don't know no better. He can't see. He can't hear. We hear. We can see everything. And we're going down. So here, he says, verse 7 says, you who turn justice into the bitterness of wormwood and cast righteousness, uprightness and right standing with God down to the ground. Seek him who made the cluster of stars called Pleiades and the constellation Orion, who turns the shadow of death or deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Verse 9 says, who causes sudden destruction to flash forth upon the strong, so that destruction comes up the fortress. Now the Lord, it didn't matter how strong you are, how mighty you profess that you are, God is able to bring you down. And he does it that the greatest gates, fortresses that they have, God bring down so the people can see that he is the sovereign Lord. He is the mighty God. There's nobody stronger than him. Hallelujah. Lord, that, he don't even have to move. He just speak a word. He just point a finger and things start to happen. Listen to what he says in verse 10. They hit him who reproved in the city, holding him as an abomination and rejecting his rebuke. And they abhor him who speaks uprightness. See, the people rejecting God. They're rejecting God and they reject God's servants. When you speak in righteousness and holiness, people come against you. They don't want to hear you. Do you hear what I'm saying? And this is what God is saying. They reject God because God has said to the people how to live. He has been showing the people how to live holy, how to live in a way that pleases him. So the people like sheep all going astray. They're doing their own thing. And you ever hear the people say that you keep doing the same thing, you expect different results? That's foolish. You know, we say, well, I love to get drunk. I love to get drunk. You know, you're getting drunk all the time. You expect to be sober. You expect to accomplish things in the world. No, you get the same results. You get the same results that people get from drinking, from smoking, from doing things that are unseemly. Here in the Word, he says, who caused this sudden destruction to flush forth upon the strong so that destruction comes upon the fortress? They hit him who reproved them, who correct them in this city, holding him as an abomination and rejecting his rebuke. People don't want correction. They don't want correction. No, we says without correction, there's no growth. People say, well, you can't tell me what to do. And they become stagnant. They're not growing. Sometimes you always want to tell me what to do. He won't tell me what to do. But you realize you're not growing. Because why? Somebody trying to give you some incentive of how to do some things different or do things the correct way. You say, well, I know how to do what I got to do. And you end up taking very long to get it, losing your job because you're wasting time. You understand? We don't want correction. And he says, verse 11 says, therefore, because you tread upon the poor and take from him exactions of wheat, you have built houses of huge stones, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their vines. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For I know how manifold are your transgressions and how mighty are your sins. You who afflict the uncompromisingly righteous, who take a bribe and who turn aside the needy in the court of the city, in the court of the city gate from their rights. See, people, they're taking advantage of the poor, of the needy. As a matter of fact, they're taking bribes and they're taking what they call when the people says they lend you $10 but they want back $15. You understand? They're really taking advantage. So he says, therefore he who is prudent will keep silence in such a time, for it is an evil time. This is what God's saying. It is an evil time. And we're looking at it and seeing it and don't recognize what's going on. Because see what happened is, why we're not recognizing, we're doing okay. We are, what the people say, we are surviving. I don't want to survive. I want to do better than just surviving. But they say, I've got away with that. I'm able to pay my bills. I'm doing all right. I'm not going to get into people's stuff. I'm not going to speak nothing about all that stuff that's going on down the street. That don't concern me, but it concerns all of us. Listen to what he says. This is God speaking through the prophet. Amos lives in the village Tekoa, a few miles south of Bethlehem and close to the Dead Sea. He was a herdsman, meaning he was an owner of at least one flock of sheep. He also took care of sycamore fig trees. Amos 7:14. He ministered about 40 years before Israel was taken into captivity by Assyria. Uzziah was king of Judah, and Jeroboam II was the king of Israel. It was a time of great material prosperity, as seen in Amos chapter 3, verse 15, Amos chapter 6, verse 48. Sadly, those who were rich oppressed those who were poor, making themselves richer as the poor became poor. There was a great deal of injustice going on throughout the land in order to warn them about the judgment they were facing. God called Amos while he was taking care of the sheep. Israel was enjoying peaceful relationship with other nations. And within their own land, Jeroboam had restored most of the boundaries of the nation to what they had been under David, what they had under David, King David. Here, I got a long sermon on this, but let's go back into the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Excuse me. Verse 14. Seek, inquire, and require good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Listen, this one verse here speaks for the whole chapter. God is asking us through the prophet. He was talking to Israel he was talking to Judah and Jerusalem, which form Israel. He was speaking to the people. The same word is speaking to us now. Excuse me, my Lord. The same word is speaking to us now. He says, seek, inquire, for, and require. In other words, go after these things that are good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. Now, if you find out that we're going through a lot of trials, we are. Bless me, Lord. If we find out that we make two steps forward and three steps backward, we ought to stop and examine ourselves. Just like when our car is making that pat, pat, pat noise, we call it backfiring. What do? We pull over and we start checking stuff. We want to know why it's backfiring. It should be running smooth. Well, it's the same way in the spirit realm. And one of my bishops used to say, same in the natural, same in the spirit. If things don't seem like they're not working right for us, they're not on the level ground with us spiritually, we ought to take a check. Take inventory of our heart, of our mind, of our soul. He says, hate the evil and love the good. Verse 15. Establish justice in the court of the city gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph, the northern kingdom. If we, as the people of God, as the servants of God, if we seek to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, the Lord will bless us. The Lord will be good to us. We give to the poor and look back for a reward. Because most of the time when you give to the poor, they don't have nothing else to give back. Next week they're going to come back and say, well, look, last week you give me $10, I'm going to give you $15 this week. You don't have anything. But guess what happened? When we give to the poor, the Lord gives to us. And he caused people to give to us. On your job, your boss give you an extra run.
Oh, extra hours. He said, well, look, I know that your hours have been this straight up, and I know that you haven't hired time. He said, well, look, you can come in tomorrow, and you can work time and a half. God bless you. We don't see it that way, but that's God. And he says, yeah, look, Francis, all of a sudden, I stopped it, out of there, nursing it. Allergy. So here the Lord says, do that. Hate with and love the good. Establish justice in the court of the city gate. It may be the Lord see this. The God of hosts will be gracious. Unmerited favor will come upon you. That's what he said. The remnant of Joseph, northern king. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, there shall be wailing in all the broad ways, and in all the streets they shall say, alas, alas, and they shall call the farmers to mourning, and such as are skilled in lamentation and wailing, those who know how to mourn. Those who know how to intercede, they can call upon them. I've been seeing things on YouTube and the people that know, they prepare for the famine, prepare for the shortage of. A lot of people don't end up paying it anymore, and it's gonna happen to them just like out on it. You know, by the time you hear the horn or the alarm system that a storm or a hurricane or earthquake or a tornado is coming, it's too late. You know, you're scrambling, trying to get to a room, trying to get things together, but it's too late. So not prepared. And he says to us, glory to God. Peace. And in all vineyards, there shall be wailing. For I will pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. In other words, the day of the Lord is going to be destructive. It's going to be destructive. It's not going to be peace and joy. No, because he's coming with judgment. In his mouth is the sword, the word of God. And when he speaks, things are going to get cut asunder. It tells you this in the book of Revelation. People think he got a metal sword in his mouth. He said he's coming with a sword. It's the word. The word's a two-edged sword. He's going to speak. And it's going to cut left and right. Cut going and cut and coming. So if you're not right, if you're not living right, don't pray and hope for the day of the Lord. Because it's going to be some justice and judgment. Hallelujah. Those that have been mistreated, going to be treated right. And those who mistreat the poor are going to be treated bad. They're going to be condemned. Understand? Judgment. All their acts will condemn them. He said, hallelujah, it is as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned with his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, even very dark, with no brightness in it? I despise your feet, and I will not smell a savor, or take delight in your solemn assemblies. We're talking about ungodly living, meaningless worship. You got people that are doing all types of stuff that are not godly. And you have people that are singing in the praise, on the praise thing. They're in the choirs. You may not know, but God knows. I may not know them, but God knows. And then they go into the house of God to worship. And sometimes the pastor says, something just ain't right. He can't put his hand on it or put his finger on it. But he says, you know, we trying to get this song together, but it don't seem to come out. You know, all the voices are there, but it's not blending right. You know why it's not blending right? Because this is what he's saying, ungodly living, meaningless worship. You got ungodly.
Microphone's all the way up top.
Ungodly living and meaningless worship. You got people that are dipping it. We call it slipping and dipping. And then they come to the church and say, well, I got to go to choir practice on Thursday night. We're going to have practice on Thursday and Friday. But we're trying these new songs and, cause we, you know, we want to give God our best. But the pastor says, the bishop says, the apostle says, the pastor just sitting in the pew and he's listening. She's listening and says, something just ain't right. Something not falling in place. You know what it is? It's somebody living ungodly. You can't put them out the church, but because you want them to change. But you ought to be able to see and hear and sit with sisters, those your brothers, so why won't you sit out this song, sit this song out? You know, do it in a godly manner. Because he liked things done decent and order. He used to, because ask God to, ask God to allow us to see and hear. I want to see what you show me. I want to hear what you're speaking to me, God. God would tell you who sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, not living the right life. The dibbing and dabbing. None of us are perfect. But most of us are trying to be perfect. God is perfecting us. If we allow him to perfect us, he will perfect us. And that's what we're talking about today. Ungodly living, meaningless worship. Now you're up there trying to worship, you shouting and clapping and stamping your feet. But God's not receiving nothing. He told Jeremiah, don't pray for the people. People was living an ungodly life. They were worshiping idols and all type of stuff. He told Ezekiel the same thing. He told Jeremiah, said, look, I'm going to just turn my face away from them. I'm not even going to look upon them. I'm not going to hear when you're praying for them. Why? Ungodly living. Meaningless worship. I'm not even receiving your worship, God is saying. And they're shouting out to the top of the voice. Someone have a melodious voice. But God not receiving. See what he tell us here? He said here in this word here, my Lord Jesus. He says, it is as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned with his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Even every dark, even very dark, with no brightness in it. He says, I despise your feast. Listen to what God's saying. He says, I despise your feast. Oh, my God. You hear these are some harsh words. And I will not smell and savor. See, the fragrance of your praise, the fragrance of your worship, God said, I'm not going to smell it. Do you hear that? Or take delight in your solemn assemblies when you come together. He said, I'm not even enjoying when you come together to worship me because of the ungodly living. He says, though you offer me your burnt offerings and your cereal offerings, I will not accept them. Do you hear what God is saying? Neither will I look upon offering of your fatted beasts. Jesus have mercy. People have spent all the time trying to put this thing together for God. Do you hear what God is saying? It takes time to kill a calf or a sheep or a goat. Skin that calf, that sheep, that goat, and then take all the spices to put upon it to bake it or roast it
and then bring it before God. And God said he's not even smelling the fragrance of the spices. He said, I'm not even receiving the offering that you bring before me. Even when you get together, I'm not even receiving your presence. Do you hear what God is saying? He said, in the word, that's not something that I just was going through or through some of my old notebooks in this jump. Oh, I got a whole first sermon written on that, but I'm going to have to write up from my notebook and put it in a computer called a book here, and very raggedy. When you hear sermons like this, and you read stuff or study stuff, because the Bible says study, not read. But when you read or study stuff like this, it ought to make us think. Think of our life. Think of our ministry. Because remember, your ministry is your life. Not the church building. My life is my ministry. Because see, when you finish preaching up in that building, and you get on the street, you're driving, going to all you can eat, a nice restaurant, people are checking out. You're sitting there with your husband, you're sitting there with your wife, your children, or other ministers, and then you start to act unseemly. People say, well, I thought he was a preacher. He's not acting, she not acting like no preacher. She acting like a street thug. Like she come from the ghetto, you know. They're ministry. You ought to show extremely compassion. In and out, in the building and outside the building. We don't change up. Some people say, oh, they're very godly. They're very godly when they get up in that building. Get up the building, they change. I know one lady was over here with us, and we wouldn't see him, body of believers. And that lady came up to church one Sunday evening. Evangelist Brown was with me. And, man, she started to curse this guy. Cuss him up with all the names that, you know, we try our best not to call anymore. And she cussed him out because he played the keyboard, but he liked to go to peep shows. That's why I told to you about ungodly living, meaningless worship. He liked to go to peep shows where he put the money in and see the women dancing half naked, all naked. I never been to one, so I don't know what it looked to go to them, you know. And he spent all his money before he get his check. So then he'll go back to the bishop or go to the trustee and say, look, can I get a front? Can I get some money advance on my check? And she said, I'll talk to you when after service. So when the service ends, lambast him in front of the church. In front of the church step. She cussed him out like she was a drunken sailor, he was a drunken sailor. You see, this is why we don't see the anointing, the divine power of God working through a lot of us inside there. You know, one little worm. That was the Virginian lady told me. She says she always kept it. I know she's still alive. I pray she's still alive. And she used to have these big baskets on her dining room table. And Iris was the name. Lord, thank you. It just came to me. And Iris would have this big basket with apples and pears and bananas and all this different grapes and stuff on her dining room table. But when they went there, we said, well, the apples and everything smells so good, the different fruits are making this fragrance in the dining room. So I decided I was just going to check an apple because I felt like eating an apple. And every apple that I ate had a hole in it. Just a little tiny worm. He's a little tiny worm. As big as a nail, a little piece of a nail. But what he did, he went through every apple, not the bananas, every apple, not the grapes, not the peaches, every apple he went through and bore them. So now you don't know which one to pick up. And it's the way when people start to live on godly lifestyle in the church. It blocks the flow. It blocks the flow of the anointing. We don't know who to use. All of them got holes in them. I told her, Iris, you got to throw away all these apples. I said, they all got a little hole from a little worm. I don't know which one it is. You're afraid to bite because you're afraid you're going to eat the worm. You know? Here God says in this Amos chapter 5, we call the Lord this to you, so we're going to do another part. The Lord said the same thing tomorrow, unless one of them preachers come on to preach and send me a message that they want to preach tomorrow. But we got to do, this. It says here in this book of Amos chapter 5, God says, I hate, I despise your feast, and I will not smell a savor or take delight in your solemn assemblies when you come together. Do you offer me your burnt offerings and your cereal offerings? I will not accept them. This is straight out. Neither will I look upon the peace offering of your father's beast. He said, take away from me the noise. This is the worship. This is the worship. God is speaking through this prophet. He was a herdsman. He was like a shepherd. Amos was like a shepherd. He was a herdsman, had a lot of sheep. So he says to the prophet, he says, take away from me the noise of your sounds. You hear that? For I will not listen to the melody of your harps. The people playing sweet, but God is not receiving it. They're singing melodious sounds, but God's not receiving it. Why? Because of ungodly living. And we don't repent enough. How many times we talk about, look, let's just repent. Let's fast for 2-3 days for the church. Just let's fast. You don't got to fast 40 days. 3 days. Let's fast 7 days for the church and let's repent. Let's lay some stuff on the table. Repent from some things that you've been doing, things you've been thinking. Because we want to see the divine power, the very nature of God in this house. Because if not, God's not going to receive it. He said, but let justice run down like waters and righteousness as a mighty and ever-flowing stream. People are fighting against each other. There's no peace. There's no justice. Because so let this thing, because God can see what's going on in the house. You got folks sitting in the house and can't stand each other. In the house that's supposed to be God's house. And it's supposed to be God's people that can't stand each other. He says, did you bring to me sacrifices and cereal offerings during those 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? No. But instead of bringing me the appointed sacrifices, you carried about the tent of your king, Sakkot and Kaiwan, names for the gods of the planet Saturn. Your images of your star god, which you made for yourselves, and you will do so again. Therefore, I will cast you. Therefore, I will cause you to go into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. You'll see that same scripture in Acts chapter 7, verse 42 and 43. Now, let me look over here. Let me go back here and look at my notes. Here I go. Just show my scriptures here. Oh, bless the Lord. Acts chapter 3. Now you can study this here from verses 3. You can further there. But let's go the last verse. He says, and I would destroy the beautiful homes of the wealthy, their winter mansions and their summer houses. To all their palaces filled with ivory, says the Lord. Why is God going to do this to the people? Because they abuse the poor. They worship all the things that they had, not worship God. Let's go back up. Listen to what he says. My people have forgotten how to do right, says the Lord, verse 10. Their fortresses are filled with wealth taken by theft and violence. Verse 11 says, therefore, says the sovereign Lord, an enemy is coming. See, God tells you. I told you earlier, God always warns his people. He says, therefore, says the sovereign Lord, an enemy is coming. He will surround them and shatter their defense. Then he will plunder all their fortresses. This is what the Lord says. A shepherd who tries to rescue a sheep from a lion's mouth will recover only two legs or a piece of an ear. So it will be for the Israelites in Samaria lying on luxurious beds, for the people of Damascus reclining on couches. This is so powerful, man. The word of God. I'm telling you, when you read that word just grab your heart and make you think. Because all this stuff that we want, all this stuff that we're going after, is not going to stay with us. We're not going to be able to keep it. I said, look, where you get some stuff, enjoy, share. But don't try to hold on to it. It's going to keep it forever. I tell you, my uncle just died on Friday to bury him on Sunday morning. Told him I was going to the graveyard. I was too cold. So I went to church. I've been in church. Sharing the word of God. And he had big house, swimming pool, everything. Car, all this stuff. Money in the bank. But he couldn't take none of that stuff with him. None of that stuff with him. You hear what I'm saying? This is what the Lord says. A shepherd who tries to rescue a sheep from a lion's mouth will recover only two legs or a piece of an ear. So it will be for the Israelites in Samaria lying in luxurious beds and for the people of Damascus reclining on couches. Now listen to this and announce it throughout all Israel, says the Lord God of heaven's army. On the very day I punish Israel for its sins, I will destroy the pagan altars of Bethel. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will destroy the beautiful homes of the wealthy. This is God. We got earthquakes. We got mudslides in California. And some of the most fanciest houses are being washed down the hill. And the people saying, well, I lost everything. Ferraris, Bentleys, Lexus, Mercedes-Benz, Cadillacs, Lincolns. They're filled to the top with mud. I says, my God. I looked and saw this real fancy, decorative Cadillac Escalade. And apostle, it was full from the bottom to the top with mud. See what God is saying here. He said, I would destroy the beautiful homes of the wealthy, their winter mansions, and their summer houses too. All palaces filled with ivory, says the Lord. They got all type of stuff inside them homes. One man was talking last night, and he was in the show. He's saying that he was charged for giving the people, we call it the medicine they give you for dialysis, and he was giving them some medicine that was poisoning them, and some of the doses. He went from one dose to two doses to five doses, and he was making all this money. Well, long story short, he said he was telling the man, told the police, he said, look, how he knew this man that this jewelry shop that make these watches for $75,000. He said, but I talked to him, and he sold me one for $45,000. So he had that watch on his hand. So long story short, he is sitting in prison for life sentence because he used his gift of medicine to kill people so he can make money. I forgot the name that they call it, that they give you when you have dialysis machine that they go on. And he was giving people 7 doses instead of 2 or 1 or 2. See, because they want that money. And they will do anything to get that money, because that's the key thing. Now, let's go to Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 6. Let's see what we got. Amos chapter 6, and let's start at verse 4. Well, let's start at verse 3. Jesus. This is all the stuff that's going on right now. Well, you know what? Let's go to verse 1. What sorrow awaits you who lounge in luxury in Jerusalem, and you who feel secure in Samaria? You are famous and popular in Israel, and people go to you for help. But go over to Calneh and see what happened there. Then go to the great city of Hamas and down to the Philistine city of Gath. You are no better than they were. And look at how they were destroyed. You push away every thought of coming disaster, but your actions only bring the day of judgment closer. See, when God is speaking and God is warning us, we try to put it on the back burner. We try to act like God haven't said a word. No, this is not really going to happen. That's what we said. Oh, they're just making up stuff. People say they're not interested in that Jesus stuff. That's what they're saying now. But everything that this Bible say is true. It shows my name is David. It's true. He says, terrible for you who sprawl on ivory beds and lounge on your couches, eating the meat of tender lambs from the flock and of choice calves fattened in the stall. You sing trivial songs to the sound of the harp and fancy yourself to be great musicians like David. You drink wine by the bowlful and perfume yourself with fragrance lotions. You care nothing about the ruin of your nations. Therefore, you will be the first to be led away as captives. Suddenly, all your parties will end. The sovereign Lord has sworn by his own name. And this is what he, the Lord God of heaven's army, says. I despise the arrogance of Israel, and I hate their fortresses. I will give this city and everything in it to their enemies. We're talking about ungodly living, meaningless worship. People living in and out of darkness still want to slip into light. You hear me? Let me say that again. People are living in and out of darkness and still want to slip into light. He says, if there are 10 men left in one house, they will all die. And when a relative who is responsible to dispose of the dead goes into the house to carry out the bodies, he will ask the last survivor, is anyone else with you? When the person begins to swear, no, by he will interrupt and say, stop. Don't even mention the name of the Lord. When the Lord gives the command, homes both great and small will be smashed to pieces. Can horses gallop over boulders? Can oxen be used to plow them? But that's how foolish you are when you turn justice into poison and the sweet fruit of righteousness into bitterness. Listen to God speaking to us. Verse 13 says, and you brag about your conquest of Lodabar. You boast, didn't we take Karnim by our own strength? O people of Israel, I am about to bring an enemy nation against you, says the Lord God of heaven's army. They will oppress you throughout your land, from Lebo Hamath in the north to Araba Valley in the south. God is speaking to us. Go to Amos chapter 7. Talking about ungodly living, meaningless worship. First thing that we want to do before we go before God, to worship God, to play the instruments, to sing songs to the Lord, we ought to search our own heart. Ask God to forgive us for the thoughts that we had last night, this morning, the minute ago, a second ago. Because I want my worship to be pure. I want my worship to be holy unto the Lord. I'm not just worshiping. I'm not just playing the guitar. I'm not just playing the drums. I am giving God part of what he gave to me, giving it back to him. Very important. No, we're just not singing. We're just not playing the instrument. We're just not, oh my God. We're not just coming to give money because we make some money. If it's not right, Apostle said it the other day, and I like that scripture too. I like it. If it's not right in my heart, let me just leave it at the altar and go make it right in my heart. Sometimes you have some stuff in your heart against your wife, against your partner, against your husband. Man, go make it right. You know what you said. You talked to her in a bad tone. Raise your voice at her and hurt her. She just didn't tell you. You spoke back to your husband in a tone that ungodly, wasn't righteous. It even pricked the heart of God the way we respond. Go back and talk to your husband. Go back and talk to your wife before you give that offering, because God is not receiving it. We just read that. They played all kind of music. They bring lambs and goats and calves and all types of burnt sacrifices to bring to God. They spent all their time on the grill, cooking up the offering. And when they brought to God, said, God, I'm not receiving that stuff. They're singing songs to God, and God said, look, I don't even hear you. I'm not even listening to the songs that you're playing. We just read that in the book of Amos. Why? Because of the lifestyle of the people. We have to take, this stuff is real. This is the same thing yesterday, today, and it will be forevermore. We got to look at our own hearts, our own stuff. Everybody, let me look down at the Jeffersons. Let me look down at Sanford and Sons. We want to look at everybody else's stuff that's going on, and we don't mind putting it on Facebook or Twitter or one of them places, YouTube or something. And God's saying, look, examine your own self. It's you that I'm concerned about, not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your supervisor. I'm concerned about you. Is your heart right with me? Is my heart right with God? Just let me look at myself, because what God is looking. God is looking. And if it's not right, You just standing at the door. We just standing at the door, but guess what? We can't even go in. We can't even enter in because our heart is not right. Preach for all this time. We played the guitar and the drums and we were sounding real good. But God's not opening the door. Matter of fact, he's looking in another direction. Amos 7 and 14. But Amos replied, I am not a professor prophet. And I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd. And I take care of sycamore trees. But the Lord called me away from my flock and told me, go and prophesy to my people Israel. Now then, listen to the message from the Lord. You say, don't prophesy against Israel. Stop preaching against my people. Listen to what he says. But this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in this city, and your sons and daughters will be killed. Your land will be divided up, and you yourself will die in a foreign land. And the people of Israel will certainly become captives in exile, far from their homeland. When God released a word like this to the people, they want to kill Amos now. But this time they want to kill Amos. Because Amos is speaking exactly what God says. Sometimes what happens is we are giving the people what we want them to have because it sounds good. And it feels good coming off our town saying it to them. They say, preach, preacher, you're preaching real good. That's what we want. But you ought not be looking for accolades, for somebody to encourage you. Preach what God says. That when you come off that altar, somebody says, preacher, that word was for me. I felt it in my soul. And I'm repenting because I'm the one you was preaching about. That's what you want to preach. That's how you want to preach. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. We got a lot of scripture. We're not going to give you all today. We got to do some more of this. I got a sermon on it too, but Isaiah, we are in one of these books we're in here. Isaiah. Lord Jesus, have mercy. I just thank the Lord. It's dreary out, but it's good. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 1. The Lord bless us. And I was thanking him so much last night. And I went to see my doctor. I met this man a few years ago. And a good little while. And I chose him from the book that they sent us from the insurance. You know, for some reason I like these Korean doctors and stuff like that. And I had to get some implants. I didn't have the money. But we get to talking about Jesus. He's a Christian. And he said, Rev, he says, man, I'm going to take care of you. Just pay me. He said, look, I'm not even going to pay you. He charged me half price. And he said, just pay me when you get them. I'll finish paying them off. And yesterday he was talking to me. He says, Nancy had been in there to get a cleaning. And the day before they talked. And then I said, I can't go because, you know, I got blog talk. She went at 1 o'clock. So I got blog talk. I ain't not go there. Can't change the date. So she set up for yesterday evening. And I went in there. She had told him about my surgery and stuff. He said, Pastor, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. So we get to talking. And then he said, well, tell me what's happening. So I got to share my testimony about my surgery. I tell you something. We had church in that dentist's office. The Holy Ghost came down on that place. He said, man, you're a testimony. You got to write this thing down. He said, Rev, he said, Pastor, you got to write this thing down. I said, no, it's just in my heart. I can never forget. I don't have to put it on paper. It's in my heart for anywhere I go to share it. It's my testimony. It's a new testimony. I told him, I said, I said, Dennis, I said, Mr. Keith Lee, I got other testimonies, but this is the new testimony, you know. And man, we were both weeping in there, you know, because God gave you stuff to share. He gives you stuff to share, and He keeps you in this land because He got purpose. Isaiah chapter 1. Glory to God. Let me see what my time looks like. Okay. Isaiah chapter 1, and let's say what the Lord is saying to us. Let's start at verse 16. You can bring this all the way down from verse 1, but we're just picking up from verse 16 because He talks about the Sabbath day and so on and fasting and stuff in this chapter. And he says, wash yourself, be clean, get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Do you hear what God is saying? This is why God is not receiving the worship. We are speaking on the subject matter, on godly living, meaningless worship. Meaning that you live in an ungodly life, not you all on the line, people out there in computer land. You live in an ungodly life, but you're still trying to go before God and believe that your worship is so awesome. You may have this sweet, melodious voice. Your voice sounds like angel, but God is not receiving the worship. You hear what He says here in Isaiah? Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Period. Verse 18. He says, come now. Let us come now. Let's settle this, says the Lord. Listen to what He says. God wants you to come and reason with Him. He said, let us come. And some book says, come, let us reason together. Settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. God is not playing. God is taking me back to these messages that I have delivered years ago. And He's taking me back into my old notebooks that are falling apart, and let me see things that know that I'm ready to receive the fullness of His divine authority, so I can give it to you. Go to Second Kings. We'll give you what I got here on this page book, and then once we give you this page, because we got so much, we got a book. 25 or 30 scriptures on another page. We do some more. Okay, let us go to 2 Kings. Glory to God. You know, I can never get enough of God's word. I don't know about you. If the more I get, the more I want. And then I get that comfortableness about me. Satisfied. That song man says, I am so satisfied. I am so satisfied. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 13, let's start at 23. Scripture, you can go through these and then God will show you something. He says, but the Lord was gracious and merciful to the people of Israel, and they were not totally destroyed. He pitied them because of His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to this day, he still has not completely destroyed them or banished them from his presence. Verse 24. King Hazael and of Aram died, and his son Ben-Hadad became the next king. Then Joash, son of Jehoahaz, recaptured from Ben-Hadad, son of Hazael, the towns that had been taken from Joash, from Joash's father, Jehoahaz. Joash defeated Ben-Hadad on three occasions, and he recovered the Israelite towns. When these people that manage Israel or Jerusalem or Samaria, there's people that got to manage Judah, and they did bad. When they did bad, God let some wicked person come in and take them out. There were some that were doing good, and God even expanded, enlarged their territory. You know, sometimes we say that we are going through so much, but we're still standing. You don't, how you think you're still standing? You say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that, and I wish I had this. But look, you're still standing. You're still standing. Hallelujah. You're still standing. It's enough to praise him. It's enough to give him glory. We're spending too much time wondering and worrying about what's going. Go to, oh, computer going off. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy. Let me go to another. This is there. Chapter 21. The Lord is good. You can't praise him enough. I'm telling you the truth. You can't praise him enough for what he's doing, what he's done, and what he will do. Can't praise him enough. If you had 1,000 towns, you can't never praise him enough. Well, we sleep in God's work. Because he never slumber nor sleep. You know, so while we sleeping, he working. He is protecting us. He's shielding us. He's interceding for us. The Bible says Jesus, he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. Do you know that? He's doing that. So why are we worrying about this and worrying about that? He's covering us. Glory to God. Come up here, Bible. Deuteronomy 21. Too many. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. This must be real good because the computer don't want it to come up. Here in Deuteronomy 21, let's start at verse 18. It says, suppose a man had a stubborn son, a rebellious son. Suppose a man had a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother, even though they discipline him. In such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold court at the town's gate. The parents must say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, and refuse to obey. He is a glutton and a drunkard. All he does is eat and drink. Then all the men of his town must stone him to death. Do you hear that? This is some serious judgment. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. This is the judgment. See, when you have stuff that's going on in the church, my friend, like the Lord has given us today, place of honor. We don't call up nobody on the floor. But sometimes you have to call them in the office. You have to have a talk with them. You know. And if they're truly honest, they will repent in the office and ask you to pray for them and allow you to observe them, their life, their worship. You see, because a person's lifestyle will worship. One way or another, it's going to show worship. A person's lifestyle. You're going to know if they're living for Christ or if they're living for the world. It's worship. If you're living for Christ, you're worshiping Him. If you're living for the world, you're worshiping the world. There's no if or buts about it. That is God's truth. Now, let's go to First Chronicles. They had some serious judgment back then. I'm glad I wasn't in that time, but I tell you, some serious judgment. They didn't play with you. They didn't play with you. We get around today. You can't get the kids to do anything. They get in their room. They got that computer, that, you know, because the phone's a computer. They got the computer, either the phone or they got a laptop or they got a desktop or some kind of phone, and they close the door. They lock the door. The door that belongs to you. They lock the door like it's their door. And then they're doing what they want to on the phone. You can't get them to clean, wash the dishes. You can't get them to vacuum. You can't get them to mow the lawn. You can't, nothing. When I was growing up, I had to go in the kitchen. Mama cooked. And a lot of time I was in the kitchen watching her because I wanted to learn to cook. I wanted to learn how to press clothes. And you know how you take the urn and stuff and you spread a little starch on the clothes. I don't see people use too much starch now. But we used to use the starch so we get a real nice crease in the pants. You know, really the crease is sticking out, looking real good. So I used to stay and go in the kitchen. When my mama go in the kitchen, I was in the kitchen. I was watching her. But I was learning to cook. And then she said, well, she would say, boy, or she said, son. But most of the time she said, boy, go clean the dishes. You know, I had to go in there and wash them dishes today. You can't get the kids to do none of that stuff. They think that they're a movie star. You can't get them to do nothing. And then the people, most of the parents don't teach the kids to do nothing, to do anything. The kids are just like, just walking around like stupid, can't do nothing. I came here and, man, I was doing everything. They said, how you doing? I said, because my mama, she taught me all this stuff. If I got into a country and I was jammed, you know, she taught me all this stuff, how to cook, how to wash, how to press, how to take care of myself. Let me give you Chronicles. I said Chronicles, right? I give you Chronicles. I think I give you Chronicles. Let me see. 23:5. Another 4,000 will work at gatekeepers, and 4,000 will praise the Lord with the musical instruments I have made. Then David divided the Levites into divisions named after the clans descended from the three sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, Merari. David was king of Israel. And he was a smart man, even though, you know, he had this vice. The vice that he had, his son Solomon had the same vice for women. And the devil still used the same vice. He used the same vice on all of us. This is how he take out a lot of preachers. No, ain't nobody exempt. Takes out a lot of preachers. Men with women and women with men. This is what he does. This old slew foot. Let's go. I'm going to give you two more scriptures and then I'm going to get over here. Let's go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Glory to God. And unlike the word of God, I tell you. There's nothing like it. You can try
something else. But the word of God is sweet. It just comforts your soul. I'm telling you something. And I do it in the nighttime, what I do. You know, sometimes I watch a movie on my computer. Last night I was watching on the TV, Chicago PD. I like that, and I like Chicago Fire. And after that, I had to get in the Word. But when I get in the Word, get the Word in me, I tell you something. It's like taking a medicine. Man, it just makes me sleep so well. And then I don't want to get up out of the bed because I sleep so well. You know, this is what the Word of God did. The last thing you should do at night is read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. And don't care what's been trying to infiltrate your mind. If you really study the Word of God, it will move it. In Isaiah 59, and he talks about salvation here, but let's go here in the first verse. But the second verse is, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. What Amos was talking about? Isaiah talks about this. Jeremiah talks about, he told Jeremiah, don't pray for the people. Told Ezekiel, look, don't pray for them. He says, I'm turning my face. I'm not even listening to them. And he says, your iniquity have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Then says, we grope for the wall like a blind. Yes, we grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the twilight, in the dark places, and among those who are full of life and vigor, we are as dead men. You imagine that you are supposed to have life in you, but you are constantly making mistakes. You're constantly slipping while you should be standing firm. While you should be the light in a darkened place, you become dark. You're slipping. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hear Pastor said the other day, says, it's like people have eyes and can't see, ears and can't hear. And it's true. People become like that. No. He tells us plain. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And we're talking about ungodly living, meaningless worship. And we made it very clear. God made it very clear. Let's say it this way. God made it very clear. Okay? And when you look back here, even this one verse here cover all. He told you back in Amos, they brought all types of sacrifices. They come together, and God said he didn't like the gathering together, the assembly. They had all types of burnt sacrifice and feast offerings and stuff, wave offerings and all types of offerings they had. God said that he wouldn't receive any of that stuff. Why? Because of this particular verse here in Isaiah. But your iniquities have made a separation. See, your sin will cause separation. Your continual sinning, you become a habitual sinner. You're singing in the choir. You're playing in instruments. I hear Apostle say one time, he has said something about giving a holy kiss. A holy kiss is on the cheek, left cheek, right cheek, whatever. And one lady was watching the keyboard player, the guitar player, one of them people. And all of a sudden, they started French kissing right at the altar. That wasn't a kiss. That wasn't the preacher said. A holy kiss, it's in the Bible. It's kissing from the cheek, on the cheek.
But they had that was in their mind. That was in their mind. See, and sin will separate you. You know, each time when you go, you know you're living, you're sinning, you're slipping. I like to call it slipping and dipping. When you go into the sanctuary, God's sanctuary, something come upon you. This, let me tell you what it is. Guilt come upon you. I know because I was there before. Guilt come upon you that you don't feel like you're the right place or like you're welcome in the place because sin will do that. This is what Isaiah is saying. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from so that he will not hear. This is the word of God, people. We go over there to 1 Samuel. Let's go over to 1 Samuel. Now, maybe I'll give you a couple more scriptures here. Prophetess Charles, come on there. Keith, come on. No, let's go here to 1 Samuel. Let's give one or two inside here. Glory to God. And we're going to open the line and see what's happening. Verse 7, 18. And let's look here.
As they were coming home, when David returned from killing the Philistine, the women came out of all the Israelite towns, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with timbrels, songs of joy, and instruments of music. And the women responded as they laughed and frolicked, saying, Saul has slain his thousand and David his 10,000. See, this brought jealousy. This very song of praise, accolades, brought jealousy. They begin to almost elevate David, and it looks like Saul was being pulled down. And Saul was very angry for the sin displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, but to me they have ascribed only thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom? And Saul jealousy David from that day forward. The next day, an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul. And he raved madly in his house while David played the lyre with his hand and as other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Saul cast the javelin, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. And David evaded or escaped him thrice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he departed from Saul. So Saul removed David from him and made him his commander over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. David acted wisely in all his ways and succeeded. And the Lord was with him. See, don't matter what's coming your way. I want to tell this today. Don't matter what's happening, even your best friend, your co-pastor, your system pastor coming against you. Remember who you are and whose you are. Walk this thing out. Walk this thing out as the servant of God. God going to give you the victory. God going to give you the victory. I'm talking to somebody yesterday going through in the fire. And you know, I always say, well, you heard it. God always sends somebody that heard it too. But you got to forget about your pain. Some people can't pray for anybody when they're going through. Some people can't give nobody something called their money low. Man, look, when you're going through, that's the best time. Pray for them. I love praying for people because, you know, then my spirit, man, just gets filled.
expand like when you're baking bread and you put some yeast in it and it starts to expand. My spirit expand when I'm praying for people. Because I know God is doing something for me. The Bible says, David acted wisely in all his ways and succeeded, and the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how capable and successful David was, he stood in awe of him. He'll make your enemy. He'll make your enemy at peace with you. This is what God would do. You ain't got to fight nobody. God promised to fight your battle. He tell you the battle is not yours. It's his. A lot of time we're trying to fight the battle. Man, I got things that I'm dealing with. You hear me? I got things that I'm dealing with. If I tell you, say, well, how can you get up every morning if the Lord, you know, and turn on Blog Talk? Because this is God's work. And the Holy Spirit wakes me up. And when he wakes me up, I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for breath. I thank you for strength. God, forgive me. You forgive me for my thoughts, Lord, even those that I didn't speak out loud. Forgive me. I repent, Lord. And I thank you. You know why I thank him? Because somebody that was here yesterday in some part of the world, right here in America, that was here yesterday, and they had made plans that they were going to do so much today. Let me tell you something. They're not here today. But you here. I'm here. We are here. Go to Psalm 68. Let me give you this last scripture here. And this will finish. This should finish the session for today. Psalm 68. Yeah. Yeah. Praise him all the time. Every chance you get. Don't let nothing, anything stop you from giving God praise. Could God give me ears? I can hear. Eyes, I can see. Man, he gave me clothes I have on my back. More than I need. Food. That's why I got to give him. Today, at sundown, begin my Sabbath. You know, and anything I eat and drink, and now, till the sun goes down. When the sun goes down, starts my Sabbath day. Till tomorrow evening when the sun goes down. You know, it belongs to the Lord. This is not boasting. It belongs to the Lord. You see, because we can preach and teach, but if we disobey one law of God, don't think you're going to heaven. I know people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Man, we got to get people jump off when I say this. I don't mind. We got to get back to owning God's word. The Sabbath day belongs to the Lord, but we don't honor it. You got to get back to owning it. Giving God praise for the Sabbath day. Here in Psalm 66. We're going to give you this last scripture. And I'll open the line. 66, and this is powerful Psalm. Oh, this is one for the choir. Come and listen. All you who fear God, tell you what he did for me. And you get this thing in your heart. You're not afraid to share it. People tell one another, we tell, how you doing today, brother? I'm blessed and highly favored. They're talking to another Christian, right? But when the unsaved come and ask and against him, brother, let me just tell you, tell what my friend. Because he said in John, I no longer call you slave, I call you friend. And the slave don't know what the master does, but the friend knows. He tells you, let me tell you about my friend. The reason why people ain't getting saved, because we don't want to tell them about our friend. Tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to tell them you got a new car, you got a new house, you brand new suits, new dresses, new wigs, all the fingernails, all this stuff. He says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God. who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love for me. See, this is where the rubber hits the road. David, the psalmist says, he said, the psalmist says, for I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. See, I wasn't just telling God my problem. I was praising him. Because I knew that what I needed, Apostle, I knew that what I needed, only he could give me. Only he could supply for me. I needed to know that he was there. So in the midst of all the people that these highfalutin doctors and stuff, I said, let me just pray and invite the head surgeon. You have to be willing to talk about him wherever you are. Not when you feel like. You got to give him praise. In spite of how you feel and what you're going through. Here, listen. Do you know that that would move God? When you repent, he said, I confess. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart. See, you got to confess that sin. We're acting around, not walking around like we're like a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. Like we got it all together. And God is saying, I know everything in your heart. Because men looking on the outside, but son, daughter, I'm looking at your heart. I can see what's going on. See, we're not confessing for God. I want to tell you this. When you confess, you're not confessing to God. You're confessing for yourself, and so the devil can know that you know where to go to be made whole. You see, because when you confess, God changes you. He changes your outlook, and he changes your inlook. Inside, you begin to operate different on a different realm when you confess. You ever notice that? That when you confess, how you make a deep breath? Your lungs kind of expand. God have mercy. Your lungs even able to expand even more because you confess and get that mess out of your lungs, out of your body. You take a deep breath. Say, Lord, I just thank. Lord, I just thank you for hearing me today. Thank you for forgiving me, Lord. Lord, for putting me back on the right track. If I didn't confess, I would still have that heavy load carrying around like a monkey on my back. Confess it. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that which you believe in your heart, God, that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession feed unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. He is in your mouth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You understand that? He said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is Bible. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Peter said, let everyone repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift. The Holy Ghost. It's so important that you know this. When Jesus told me one time back in Virginia, he told me, he said, I've forgiven you and I've thrown your sins in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east from the west. I broke out in tears. My pastor asked me, he said, why are you crying? I was just reading the Bible and I saw it. And I was carrying all of my sins. See, like an old carpenter got his old tool bag. I was carrying all of my sins everywhere I went, everywhere I go. I had that old bag of sin with me. Even in the church house, I had that bag of sin with me. And I could never enjoy him. I could never experience him like other people. And one day the Holy Spirit says to me, Pastor was walking through the corridor in the church. And people was falling down. He wasn't touching nobody, putting oil. The Holy Ghost was slaying people. And the Holy Ghost said to me, he says, you have not repented of your sins. He says, you're still dibbing and dabbing in sin. I was still going to the crack house and coming to church. They said, what did you see the message? Ungodly living. meaningless worship. I was singing on the praise team and in the choir. And when I come to praise rehearsal on Thursday night, I just spray that spray, that breath spray in my mouth so that it didn't smell the fragrance of the stuff I was using. But it was coming out my pores. Everybody knew that I was getting high. Everybody knew I was drinking alcohol. But when I prayed and asked God to take it away, what a relief. I could breathe freely. He took it away. The Bible said, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That's more than just care. He careth. He careth for you. He's continually caring for you. It doesn't matter what it is you're trying to hold on to. Just cast it upon him. We'll always have worries. Listen to me. We'll always be worried about the cares of the day until we give it to God. When we give it to him, we become light. He's too strong. I can't weigh him down. That's why he says, when you only saw 2 footprints in the sand, that's when I was carrying you. You can't weigh him down. Give it to him. Somebody's holding on to some stuff today. You're still trying to hold on to it. Girl, I tell you, let it go. Boy, I said, just give it to God. He's waiting for you to give it to him. And when you give it to him, he says, son, you're free. Daughter, you're free. Go on and enjoy your life in me. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I just dropped them scriptures out of my spirit for you. You need to call upon him in repentance right where you are. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. And there are many, too much for me to number. But I understand and I believe in my heart that you were crucified and that you died on the cross called Calvary, the skull of Golgotha. I believe this in my heart. You were buried in a borrowed tomb, in a rich man's tomb. And the Father raised you up on the third day. I believe this in my heart. This is why, Lord Jesus, I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I come to you today with great expectations, Lord, knowing that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, knowing in my heart that you're the only one that have the power and the authority to change my life. Jesus, I am sick, tired of living the life that I've been living. So today, I'm asking you to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You know my sins, Lord. You have looked at my heart, and you see how dark my heart is with the sin. I'm asking you, Jesus, to shine your light. Shine the light of righteousness, holiness in my heart. I want to know that I'm saved. So today I'm inviting you to come in. Take complete control, Jesus. I don't want to go a step further. Like Moses says, he wanted to see your presence. He wants your glory. I will not go a step further till I sense your presence in my heart. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dying. Thank you for giving your life and shedding your blood. Wash me now, Jesus. Wash me now, Jesus. And make me whiter than snow. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior, my soon coming King, Jesus. Bless my life with your presence. And all those out in computer land that don't know you, Lord, bless them with your presence, Lord. This world has become too full of sin, and they need to experience your glory. Fill me today. Fill me now that I can go forth and share the testimony of what you've done for my life. In Jesus' name, if you just said that on common prayer and you believe in your heart, you have just received a gift of salvation. Just did something for me right there. Just touch my heart. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts so that you get a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Sovereign Lord that we preach and teach about every single day. The message is always about him, never about us. You want to learn more about him. You want to know that he is the only one that can take you where you need to go in the kingdom. And you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that knows how to baptize to Acts 2 and 38. And tell them that you have received the gift of salvation. You want to be baptized. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, co-workers, and even your enemies. Because you want them to know that you have given your life to Jesus. And that there's no turning back. You have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Some writer said, though none go with me, yet I will follow. No turning back. If the pastor says he don't baptize in Jesus' name, don't get all upset and bent out of shape. Just tell him you'll get back in touch with him because you may become the very pastor of that church when he retired off the, they cancel him because pastors get dismissed from churches. You know, when they act unseemly, the government of the church, the elders and deacons, they just vote him out or vote her out. And you may become the interim pastor in several years after you develop and proven the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So leave the door open. Only a fool burn the bridge that they might walk back over. Want to walk back over. Leave the door open. And then find your church after you get baptized that is preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ because a lot of people are preaching and teaching, but they're not preaching the true gospel. They're preaching what we call a compromised gospel. The one that gets you happy, not the one that convicts you and wants you want to live, make you live different. That's the gospel you want. Because the gospel that Jesus and the apostle preach, it convicts people. You remember Philip, the Ethiopian Enoch? Once he read that scripture to the Enoch, he wanted to get baptized. He didn't compromise the word. He opened the word so that they could understand. You know, and this is what you need. You see, a lot of people take one verse and they put all of this stuff on the verse because they want accolades. Oh, preach good. No. This Bible don't lie. It don't lie. I have a whole sermon in my notebook from years ago. Several pages. And it sounds good. And God didn't let me give you. I said, just come out the book. And that's what I give you today. I pray that I've said something, done something by the Holy Ghost that has touched somebody today. And if you want to come on in and respond, you're free to respond. This is your ministry. It's God's ministry. It's our ministry. So come on in. Jesus said that many shall believe on him through their word. In John 17, about 20-22. But you know, when I read that scripture, it blessed me. It's what I saw, and I know you saw it too, because you're grown. What I saw is that they were preaching and teaching the word that Jesus gave to them. But Jesus said, when you preaching it, it's your word. That's why you got to preach it with power and authority. You know, you don't preach no watered down word. And people will believe on him. He said, many will believe. He told the Father, he said, many will believe on me through their word, the word that they preach. So if people are not believing on Jesus through the word that you're preaching, Maybe you're not preaching the word that Jesus gave you. God bless you. The line is open. I'm finished.
God bless you, Apostle.
Yep. God bless you, Minister Jones.
Yeah, I love you. I love you, Marcus Dishon, everybody over here. I just been the last couple weeks just being silent, just listening to the word every day, enjoying it, and then getting right back to work and learning how to just listen, you know. The word was so good and powerful today, man. And listening to it from the beginning to the end, just to make you excited in your spirit to know that God is so patient and towards us. And this is what you call the mercy of God, extending to man kind when you get this kind of word. But, it says, my people that are called by my name shall know themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. And I will hear from heaven and hear from heavenly land. And the word was so powerful, this thing about the church. You were talking about, giving strange offerings. And I think about strange minds, coming to God and, still functioning in offerings. Still got sin in your heart and not, giving God your all, like Romans 12:1 say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the verses of God, that you present your body, living sacrifice, holy, and acceptable unto God, which is reason service. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind. Sometimes you have to be reminded, people think, God don't see you, do one thing. I was saying last Sunday when I went to Sunday school, I said, Jesus, like, you can come on the radio, get on the prayer line, and go to church and put on this son, if you live it right, but then, deep down inside, your heart not right. And God knows it. That's why the Bible says, Lord, he knows those that are healed. And, the word was real powerful. He says, when you start preaching from the Holy Spirit, all kind of scriptures that go through your mind. I'm thinking about Romans chapter 8, verse 1, saying, therefore, there's no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Walk not out of the flesh, but out of the spirit. Romans 8:6 says, what shall we say then? Say we continue seeing that grace may abide, God forbid. And so, the word was powerful, and that just shows you how good and merciful God is, and how much he loves us, And he'll wink at us and say, hey, let that go. The God been telling something else for years, hey, you need to let that go. You've been holding on that too long. And, you call the power of God to be have a source. And I like what you were saying about that, because you see that happening in a lot of churches, not every church. Now, I got somebody that's living right. But in some churches, I'm going to say some, because I want to put everybody in the same message, that you can't get the power of God to move because, people don't know they're important. They think, it ain't important if I'm just a musician or usher or all this ministry. If you're an usher, singing, are you on a praise team? Are you a musician? That's ministry too. So when you're not living according to the word of God, it calls God not to accept the whole sacrifice of the whole church for one person. It don't take the Bible said one lump. It don't take but one person to call the power of God to be shorted when we're not doing what we're going to do. Because you look at the story of Elijah with all them different witches and warlocks who say they'll come and try to make an offering to their God, and nothing didn't happen. That's the same way with us, nothing ain't going to, and when Elijah brought offering to God, something happened. Even look at Abraham, God brought, he got asked him to sacrifice his own son. But then God just wanted to see his heart, how much he really loved him, and he knew that he would have did it. But God had a sacrifice, a ram in the bush, and so, I just love the word was so powerful, and it showed you the importance of ministry, and I'll often say, and I know the Bible says it too, I can't remember what scripture said, we have a ministry of reconciliation. No matter what office you're in, you're important in your lifestyle, how you live before God, not just when you're in front of everybody, and when you're on the radio, or when you're with the saints of God, because we're good at getting together and shouting and having a good time, but then it's what we do after we leave from amongst each other, how we live when we by ourselves, and when we're on our job, and our lifestyle, and what we do when nobody else don't see us. And so, that's important to God. God wants us to live, give our whole body. He said he wants us to be holy, even as he is holy. And, we just in that time now where, you got this false doctrine going on that people think it ain't important. It ain't that important to God. God concerned about everything about us. He wants us to live holy because if you don't know who watch out there. You know, you might put on a persona at church, but then on your job, you're a whole other person. How can you win somebody if they see in a whole, like, wait a minute, you're a Christian, and they see you acting a certain way, and then make them, you know, don't have that trust or that faith in God that they're supposed to because of something you might have done or did, you know, and so, and then, you know, and so on this part with your brother, not loving each other, you know, and so, you know, we didn't have to pray, but I enjoyed it, man. Man, it was powerful. You can feel the anointing in that word, man. You can hear God speaking to the church saying, hey, it's time to come out, it's time to let this stuff go. It's time to come on. And because he acted, he was telling Paul, he wanted them to go on to perfection. And God tried to take us on to perfection by letting us know, get the devil and all the tools back. Because Jesus said, when the enemy came, he couldn't find nothing in him. When we got to get to that point like Christ. When the enemy comes, he can't find nothing in him. There ain't going to be no excuse for it to be a power shortage and that people can get saved. But I love you, and you've been encouraged. I just thank God that, you know, we've been praying for you. I'm pretty sure we're not the only one praying for you, that God has restored you. 100-4, and it brought you back with strength. And I just thank God that prayer worked. I mean, man, prayer is so powerful. Just to hear your voice on here and the anointing still flowing. But I was praying, say, Lord, you know, this man of God, you're a servant of God. And God, you know, he brought you and took you through that. You know, and they just brought you another anointing. It just, you get anointed again because once God try to take you to another level, you got to go through something for anointing to get more anointed. You know, and so I just thank God to hear your voice on here is a blessing that you come on here and you get sacrificed like that for God. And it's just a blessing coming that most favor comes with God. It's just a blessing that you're not making excuses about nothing. You're doing the will of God. Now, it made me want to do better the more I hear you and I hear the other men and women of God that's on here. But I love God. Y'all continue praying for me that I do better. I want to do better for God. And it helped me examine myself because you have to do that like Apostle was saying today. You know, even as you're a minister or whatever position that you're in that God have anointed you for, you still have to examine yourself. Because while he's preaching to us, the word of God convicts you too. Even when you bring the word, that word is supposed to be get you in a place where it convicts you too. The word of God is not just for the sheep, but it's for the shepherd too. And so I just thank God that the word is a two-inch sword. It cut. It's like going to the doctor, you know. And, you know, and it's like God's like the doctor. He tell you, he help you get right and give you what you need, the antidote to get you right, you know. And so, you know, I just thank God for the word. God bless you. Love you. Apostle, I'm not going to hold up the line, but I just thank God for y'all. I love you so much. And you've been encouraged. And things going to get better. And it's already better. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. I'm just getting a little fruit because that's what I eat, a lot of fruit and vegetables. But thank God for you for responding and hearing what you heard. Yeah, I'm doing real good. I can't complain. Praying for where I'm at for the time that I had all the surgeries and stuff. You know, I'm doing superior. Believe what I'm telling you. You can't even believe it. You know. One person would look at me the other day and says, man, you don't even look like you had surgery. I said, yes, I did. Sure enough, did. I said, so I told him, I says, I look the way I look because the God I serve is keeping me. You know, I'm not keeping myself, you know.
Amen.
I'm in good shape. But thank you so much. I thank everybody. People prayed for me all over the world. I was crying one day. I was crying and now. I mean, I was just crying. I think I was in the hospital. I tried to weep, man, because pastors have called me from India, and they said, we are praying for you. Call me from Ghana. I said, wow. I said, I never knew that so many people loved me, you know. And then there was prophetess and pastors in Trinidad and Barbados in Canada. He all over the United States. I said, wow. In Brazil, you hear what I'm saying? And I begin to weep because, you know, the love of Christ is awesome. It's awesome, you know. And when God touched people, I always tell people, I said, look, pray with me and for me because I'm praying for myself too, you know. So pray with me and for me because a lot of people like you to pray for them, but they don't want to pray.
You know, folks that would fast for me. They go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I said, no, I'll fast with you. You know, both of us go off and turn the plate down. You know? I said, I'm going to fast with you. Both of us going to turn our plates down. But a lot of these folks, they want you to fast for them while they eat a part of fried chicken. Well, the line is open. Thank you so much, Minister John. We appreciate it. You know that. So I see Elder on the, he's on the line. And Pastor Stewart.
My property, she said her love, she been having fun, a problem with her phone and everything, but she sent her love to you, I'm trying to make it home now so I can try to work on getting her another phone because I got her with me. But she sent her love and her prayers, and she haven't forgot about you. It's just her phone, you know, been acting up real bad. She hasn't been able to call anybody or do anything, so... but she sent her love. God bless you.
So we appreciate it. We'll get to come on in, because we got some other preachers that are going to come on and preach with us and for us very soon. So we'll have her come on and break bread with us too, for us. You know, because that's what God wants. A lot of different people moving. You know, we have many members, but one body, serving one Lord, one baptism, one Holy Spirit, you know. So that's what it's all about. The line is open. Once she get a phone, see if she can come on next week. See if she can come on next week and bring us a word, okay?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay, the line is open.
It's a blessing, yeah, to be in the service of the Lord one more time. Ain't it a blessing, yeah, to be in the service of the Lord one more time? Could have been dead in my grave, yeah. But somehow God made death behave. Oh, ain't a blessing, yeah. Be in the service of the Lord one more time. Ain't it a blessing, yeah, to be able to wave your hand and say, thank you, Lord, one more time. Ain't it a blessing, yeah, to be able to wave your hand and say, thank you, Lord, one more time. I've been sick. Father, I wouldn't get well, yeah. But oh, God, heal my body. Now I'm gonna tell. Oh, it's a blessing, yeah, to be in the service of my Lord one more time. I feel all right. It's a blessing. Oh, Lord, to be in the service of the Lord one more time. Oh, you ought to be happy today. Oh, to be in the service of the Lord one more time. I could have been dead, Lord, in my grave. Yeah, but oh, somehow my God made them behave. Oh, ain't it a blessing, yeah, to be in the service of the law one more time?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Elder.
Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Whew. Right on time. Right on time. Yeah, the line is open. That was Elder out of Louisiana. He's a man that loved the Lord, loved the Lord, loved to worship. And he loved to worship the Lord. Now, we pray for him. He prayed for us. And we are grateful that he's here. Not to support Blog Talk Radio, but to praise the Lord. It's not about Blog Talk Radio. He praised the Lord. You know, and that's what it's all about. We come on and we give God glory. Give God glory. Give him praise. Give him honor. Somebody going to get healed. Somebody going to get delivered. Somebody going to be restored. Praise him. Because he told us that. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I draw all men unto you. He be lifted up on the cross. And he's still drawing people. Still drawing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are excited. The line is open. A lot of preachers on the line. A lot of preachers on the line. So, I mean, the line is open. You want to come on and give God glory? Come on and give him glory. The topic was ungodly living, meaningless worship. Meaning that if you live ungodly, your worship is not going to move God. Matter of fact, God is not even going to hear your worship. And we show you in the scriptures today. God is not going to hear your worship. He's not going to receive your offerings if you live ungodly. Glory to God. The line is open. Well, if nobody is seeing anything, we're going to pray and we're going to close out. Because there's no point of we sitting here and we're all silent when we know we all have the Word of God in us, the Spirit of God in us. You know, you're not praising me. I'm not looking for a praise. I already prayed this morning. When he woke me up this morning, I praise him. I got what I needed. I got my exaltation this morning because he woke me up. He woke me up. He didn't have to. So I give him praise and I give him glory. Laying on my bed, I was praising him, thanking him for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do because he's not stopped. He's not stopping. See, as long as I'm on this side of the grave, he's going to bless me. He's going to take care of us. He's going to give us something to praise him for. You got something to praise him because you're breathing. Believe what I'm telling you. You're breathing. That's enough to praise him. That's enough. I don't need a lot to praise God. You know, as long as I'm breathing, I praise him. So before we go into close out, anybody has got anything they want to say? Okay, Minister Jones, go ahead and pray us out.
Yes, sir. First, God said the prayer of the righteous is better than much. I thank God for the worship of the song and just the opportunity to be on here with all men and women of God. I love y'all. Let's continue praying for each other that we all make sure that we keep our garments clean and do the will of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today for your word, your promise. Should never leave us or forsake us, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your patience towards us, God. You don't have to do that, God. You have to send your word, God, to save us. And so we just thank you for your most of all, for your son, Jesus Christ, his blood that he shed on Calvary for the mention of our sin. And we just thank you, Lord, God. It was the hiding word in our heart that we won't sin against you, Lord. Keep every one of us, God. Keep us, God. It was, God, to search our heart, God, with your scriptures, Lord, to make sure that we are right, God. Even your word says, God, search the scripture, Lord, to make sure that we have eternal life. So, God, help us, Lord, to search our heart, to make sure we're pure before you, God. You said, only pure hearts shall see you. So, help us today, God. Those that receive salvation, God, help them, Lord, to continue finding you and getting to know you in a better way, God. You said, the steps of a good man are ordered by you. But you said, if we abide in you, with anything we ask, it shall be given. So, Heavenly Father, help us to set our affection on things above, not on this earth, God, that we'll be able to be worthy and acceptable in your sight, Lord, that your anointing will continue to rest upon us, that we'll continue to do your will and walk in your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just want to let you know that we love you guys so much with the love of Christ, but he loves you, loves us even more. Just continue to praise him. No matter what you're dealing with today, what you're facing, or what you might face in the course of this day, give him praise. Understand that he's with us. Not just you, he's with us. And all you need to do is praise him. Welcome him in whatever situation that you're dealing with. Maybe be a marital situation, maybe on the job situation, you know, financial situation, and physical, spiritual. Don't care what it is. Invite God in. Let him, the Lord Jesus, invite him in your situation. He said, I care for you. Not that he care. He didn't say, I care. He said, I care. That means that he's continuously caring for us. Okay? God bless you all. I love you all. Come on tomorrow afternoon. If the Lord say the same, we're going to do a part two of the message from today, talking about ungodly living, meaningless worship. And we're going to show you in the scriptures how when you live ungodly, how your worship don't make no sense in the presence of God. He didn't receive it. God bless you. Bye-bye.